Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, the summer season is nearly upon us and people are getting ready to perhaps jet off on their sun holidays. But in order to cut emissions, do we need to fly less but pay more to enjoy ourselves? Or does the aviation industry need to become more sustainable? I'm joined by Green Party MEP Ciarán Cuff and Mark Paul, Irish Times business columnist. You're both welcome to the programme. Thank you for joining us today. Ciarán Cuff, I'll start with you because you've said before that people should fly less in order to cut emissions. Do you believe that that would make a difference if people voluntarily made that decision?
Look, I think everything will help. Here in Brussels, I'm working on a new law that will promote sustainable aviation fuels or greener fuels. But I think we also need to think twice before we fly. And certainly where we can, I think we should try and cut down on our carbon footprint from flying. I mean, we know from the numbers that a small amount of people fly a lot and that aviation or flying is almost responsible for about 4% of Europe's greenhouse gases. Mm-hmm. So I do think we should think twice before we fly.
But
I don't want to be a killjoy on that. I think everybody's entitled to take a holiday. Mm-hmm.
Where you are in Brussels, it's easy enough, I suppose, to get around because you can use trains and so on to travel around Europe. We're an island nation. It's a little harder.
Oh, it absolutely is, and I know this from personal experience, because often enough I take the Eurostar to London and then the train up to Holyhead and the ferry back to Ireland. It's not an easy journey to make. It takes the best part of a day. So the last thing I want to do is tell people, stop flying today. But I do think that there are choices, and I think where we can, we should try and choose the low-carbon option.
Okay. Mark, what do you say to that, that it's time now to start looking at low-carbon options, and that means taking a look at what you're doing this summer and perhaps ruling out the holiday overseas?
I don't think that anybody needs...
Sorry, Mark, your line is dropping out a little bit there. We'll persist because we're hearing you every second word, but we'll see, can we keep going with that? Carry on, Mark.
Should just go ahead and sorry, Clare, can you not hear me?
Yeah, no, the line is breaking up a little bit. We'll just keep going, Mark.
Okay.
No, that line is not going to work for us. So, Ciarán, we'll come back to you. We'll ring Mark back and we'll see can we get him on a regular line. There's the tourism argument here, Ciarán Cuff, as well. And we know that Ireland relies a lot on aviation for tourism. There's a hope that the tourists will start to come back this year after the pandemic. They're not quite there yet, certainly not from the United States. Will your call for people to fly less impact our tourism industry?
Well, I think we all want to see a revival of tourism in Ireland. And one of the upsides of the pandemic was that a lot of Irish people spent time and spent money on holidays in Ireland. But I think that the tourism industry is hugely dependent on international travel. But I would say, I think we should encourage people to spend a longer time when they come to Ireland, because I think long-haul, short-stay tourism is inherently bad for the planet. So I think we should try and get people to spend a bit longer in Ireland when they come. And I think we should spend more on promoting tourism, Irish tourism, to people within the European Union, because I think we've an incredible offer here.
Okay.
So look, it's a finely balanced issue. We have to encourage tourism, but we do have to cut down on our greenhouse gas emissions.
Mark Paul, what do you say, that we should be encouraging people who travel to Ireland long haul to stay for a longer period of time?
Oh, well, look, I mean, that's inherently sensible. I mean, it will be good for the Irish tourism industry if people who travel here long haul stay for a longer period of time. And look, a lot of what Ciarán is saying, I miss some of it because the line drops, but a lot of what Ciarán is saying and has been saying is reasonably sensible on this. I mean, we do need to decarbonise aviation, but sometimes I think the debate, we lose some perspective. You know, there's this, you often hear about this mythical 10 euro flight, you know, I've seen Green Party politicians mention it in the past, as if Irish people are flying all over Europe to have sun destinations every weekend for 10 euros. I mean, that's largely a myth. Flights are generally not that cheap. The average Ryanair one-way fare in 2019 before the pandemic was about 40 quid. Add-on taxes and so on, it's about 50 or 60. So that's 120 return. I mean, any family of four, I'm in a family of four, any family of four looking to buy flights for their summer holiday this year, you're going to be lucky to get your flights to your family of four return for less than a grand, pretty much. So look, it's not the fast food of travel sometimes the way that it's portrayed. I mean, look, you could ground every single plane in the world indefinitely, forever, and you'd still be producing 97.5% of the world's carbon emissions. And I think the problem with aviation is that it's growing so fast, and as it grows so fast and other sources of carbon emissions are cut, the proportion gets bigger. So the problem looks bigger. So look, aviation has to do its bit, but there is a benefit to travel as well as a cost, and we shouldn't just look at it in terms of the cost. I mean, a lot of the social change that has happened in Ireland over the last couple of years, I don't think a lot of that would have travelled if Irish people were the sort of people who just stuck to this windy rock of ours in the middle of the Atlantic. I mean, you know, we have to focus on decarbonising aviation, but not on destroying it.
Yeah, that's the nub of this, isn't it, Ciarán Cough? It's what the industry can do, and sometimes we blame the end user. This happens in fast fashion as well. But we've got to look at what aviation is doing.
I think we need to put more pressure on aviation. The draft law I'm working on in Brussels is suggesting that we would use 2% sustainable fuels by 2025 and 5% by 2030. So I think the level of ambition is not as high as it should be, particularly when we look at the kind of headlines that are on RTE this morning about weather records being broken. And I think there is a link to climate change on this. And the other thing I think we should take into account is something called the non-CO2 effects, because the impacts of aviation, it's not just the greenhouse gases that come from the fuel that's been burnt, but when we emit these gases at a high altitude, we have other problems that are caused by the contrails, by the pollution, which multiplies the CO2 effects. It's a technical issue, but I think we have to take that into account in how we proceed. And one last thing I think I would mention on this is that we need to have a level playing field. Thus far, aviation is exempt from a lot of the taxes that apply to you or I when we fill up our car with petrol. Aviation has had a license to pollute scot-free in many regards. And I just think Michael O'Leary and his airplanes should be paying similar kind of fuel taxes to what we pay when we take a train or drive a car in Ireland.
Mark?
Well, I just think just on the point of the contrails, which is that white streak you see across the sky when a plane flies overhead. I mean, it's basically frozen soot. That can be actually tackled quite easily by adjusting flight paths and adjusting the altitude the planes fly at. So, I mean, the latest research shows that problem can be solved fairly easily or addressed fairly easily.
What about the taxation, though, on aviation fuel?
I think it would be wrong to make flying prohibitively expensive, to make it the preserve of the rich, which is what it was back in the 1980s and the early 1990s. I mean, when I was a kid, it kind of cost 2 weeks' wages to fly to the UK. And I just don't see that it would be a good thing in the longer term and for just the entire makeup of the country to go back to that, to make it so prohibitively expensive that only the rich can fly. I mean, that's certainly not going to make flying more equal. And I just think it would be bad for the country in the long term. There's only so green that you can make flying. They should make every effort. And I agree with Ciarán that there should be bigger targets for sustainable aviation fuel. The problem there is that not enough of the stuff is made. I mean, every drop that was made last year was used, but it's 2.5 times as expensive as sustainable aviation fuel, which is basically biofuels that you mix, like use cooking fats and so on, that you mix with kerosene. So perhaps governments need to step in there to fund some of the research or to fund some of the production or to subsidise it until it's more economically sustainable. But I think some environmental campaigners argue that we should make flying prohibitively expensive, and I just think that would be wrong. I think that would be unequal in society, because the rich would still be able to do it, and I just think it would be bad for the country in the longer term.
Do you see that as being an unintended consequence, Ciarán Cough, that only the rich would be able to fly?
No, I don't think so, but I certainly think the rich should pay their fair share. And we know from the kind of the international research that it is a very small amount of flyers who are causing the vast amount of damage. 1% of the world's population are responsible for 50% of the CO2 emissions from commercial aviation. But look, I think there's opportunities as well. Mark talked about sustainable aviation fuels. Biofuels, I'm not so keen on, because that could take away land that we need for food. But synthetic aviation fuels using direct air capture, I mean, it's a little bit of technical wizardry, but I would love to see Shannon be used as a base for the development of synthetic aviation fuels.
Okay.
And we can do that with offshore renewable energy to make green hydrogen. And then if we use something called direct air capture, we can essentially make this incredible product that we can put into airplanes instead of kerosene.
Mark Paul, I'm going to say goodbye to you. Kieran Cuff, would you mind staying with me? Because I just want to ask you about this piece of news I have in front of me, a statement from the Green Party TD, Patrick Costello, your party colleague, confirming he's going to vote against the government if it comes to a vote this evening on the National Maternity Hospital. He says, having given much thought on the issue, I can confirm I will be voting in favour of the National Maternity Hospital motion this evening. Now, that's the Sinn Féin motion. He says that he can't in good conscience vote against the motion. He understands being a TD in a government party and voting against the whip is a serious matter. I've informed my party whip of my intentions. I'll accept the consequences from my action. Now, Kieran Cuff, I know you're in Brussels. You're an MEP. But this, I mean, you've got Nasa Harrigan and now you've got Patrick Costello voting against the government. Are you concerned for the future of the coalition and the Greens within that coalition?
Well, I'm concerned that we see a national maternity hospital built and that we see a hospital built that is free from religious interference. And I recognise the guarantees that have been given by An Taoiseach and by others that the hospital will be free from interference. I think people just want to see the hospital built. I think mothers who are experiencing difficulty in pregnancy want to see it built. I think all of us who campaigned to take religious influence out of decisions want to see it built. And we have been giving assurances, which I think stack up.
And what do you say to Nasa Harrigan and Patrick Costello today? Do you encourage them to examine their decision now and think again?
Well, look, they have to make a decision for themselves. And I certainly recognise that there are people out there who feel that the assurances aren't enough. So I can see both sides of this discussion. But I think really we have been waiting for a national maternity hospital for a very long time. I don't want to see it a bit like the children's hospital being delayed and delayed and delayed. I think we want to see a world-class health facility built. I think we want to see that start. And what I would say to NASA and what I'd say to Patrick is look again at the assurances given. And if you don't agree with those assurances, well, you have to vote according to your conscience.
But I am reassured by what I've heard.
But
what are the implications of this now for Nasa Harrigan and Patrick Costello? And we don't know if this is going to go to a vote yet, but the likelihood is that it will because they need 10 TDs to back it. They have 6 there at the moment. Will they lose the whip? Is that a given?
I don't know, Claire, is the short answer to that. It will be ultimately, I think, a matter for the party leader and the parliamentary party to decide.
And should they? Do you think they should?
Look, to be honest, I've had my head down a rabbit hole of European legislation for the last 2 weeks here in Brussels. I do note that Catherine Martin said that she was happy with she was satisfied with the assurances given, and I think ultimately there has to be a level of trust about these things. And I think there is a danger that a facility that I think everybody wants to see could be pushed down the road for far too long if we continue to postpone the decision.
And the bottom line is you would ask them to reconsider.
Look, I think they have to make a decision for themselves and they have to carefully consider all aspects of the decision. I'm not going to tell them how to vote, but I would say certainly if I was a member of Dáil Éireann, I would be minded to approve the facility today.
Okay, well, thank you very much for giving us your response to that statement because it literally just came in from Patrick Costello, your Green Party TD. So we sprung that one on you, but thank you very much for taking the questions there. That's Kieran Cuff, Green Party MEP. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
RTE.